In Acts chapter 16, the Apostle Paul and his companions, Timothy and Silas, were seeking God's direction. As these faithful servants attempted to discern their next steps in ministry, God orchestrated their journey to Troas in unexpected ways. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll draws powerful lessons from this pivotal moment in church history, where a nighttime vision would redirect their missionary path. Through this story, we gain a fresh understanding of how God mysteriously guides his people through both closed and open doors. Before we resume this study in Acts 16, Chuck begins with prayer.
How very meaningful is your word, our Father. Heaven and earth may pass away, but your word will never pass away. How valuable are the principles you teach us by application of your word. How grateful we are that you lead us into truth, and that from the truth we know a freedom that could not be known otherwise. Thank you. Today I speak to many men and women who are living with closed doors in their lives. It is easy to be disillusioned and discouraged and to think we have missed your will, when in fact we are very likely in the nucleus of your will, though the door closes, and you are moving us toward one that is open. It is hard to have dreams dashed, to have hopes unfulfilled, to face a future that is the mix of unknown and unfamiliar, and sometimes, if the truth were known, unwanted. But you have a way of guiding us unerringly into the path of righteousness for your name's sake. You are the potter. Remind us today that we are still the clay. You are the vine. Remind us that we are the branches. You are the master. We're just the servants. Break within us the strong, sinewy will that's determined to get our own way, so that we might truly go wherever you lead us, whenever you please, however you wish us to get there. And Father, this work sustained by your people is a work of faith to the glory of Jesus Christ, from hearts full of joy, because we believe in what you are doing in this place of service and worship. And now, Father, may our hearts be softened as the soil is prepared for the sowing of the seed of the Word of God. We ask for Jesus' sake. And everybody said, amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To dig deeper into the mystery of God's will on your own, be sure to download our Searching the Scriptures Bible studies by going to insight.org/studies. Now let's resume our study in Acts chapter 16. Chuck titled his message, Closed Doors, Open Doors.
Verse 9, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. We don't read anywhere how long they were in Troas before the vision appeared. They couldn't preach in Phrygia or Galatia, Mysia or Bithynia. They came all the way to Troas, and apparently they weren't going to do much preaching there, though it was a major city at that time. The harbor has silted up a number of miles now, and Troas is inland, but back then it was right on the sea. And some felt it would be the capital of the continent before too many more years. This is a major city. And Paul and Silas and Timothy are trying to figure out what God's saying. And what happened? A certain man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, if you don't know your geography, you can't appreciate what that requires. They are in Troas, which is on the Asian side. Macedonia is on the Europe side, And the man in Macedonia is saying, come across the seas. In other words, another culture, another language, another set of unfamiliar matters they've got to deal with, tests they're not ready for. But Paul was ready. Look at what he does. When he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia. Paul, take a moment and look at the word we in verse 11. Luke is the one who wrote this book, the Acts of the Apostles. This is the first time the pronoun we appears in what is known as the we section of the book of Acts. Whenever Luke is a part of the group, he puts we or us. When Luke stays in an area and Paul goes on, he turns to them and they. Luke is here. Apparently they met Luke at Troas. Perhaps coming near the coast, Paul came down with a fever, needed the assistance of a medical doctor. Perhaps it was that led Luke and Paul to meet. And it was through that set of events that caused Luke to become a part of the traveling group. So now there are four of them: Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Dr. Luke, who would later be used of God to write the record that we know today as the Gospel of Luke, as well as the book of Acts. So immediately we sought to go into Macedonia. Why? We concluded that the Lord had called us, see there, we, us, had called us to preach the gospel to them. How long they tried the other regions, we're not told. How they responded when the doors closed, we're not told. How soon the vision came, we're not told. The identity of the man of Macedonia, we're not told. Some of the commentaries I counseled suggested that it was Luke who was the man from Macedonia. And I can't find that here. I looked all over. Just, it's not there. How does he know it's Luke? It says a man from Macedonia. It doesn't matter who the person was. It was a vision from God. And the man said, come over. They concluded God had called them to preach the gospel over there, and immediately they sought to go to Macedonia. That means they had to sail, and we're told the course. Putting out to sea from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and on the following day to Neapolis, from there to Philippi, which is a leading city in the district of Macedonia. 13, on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside. That's where the old song comes from, down by the riverside. They came to the riverside where we were supposing there would be a place of prayer. We sat down, began to speak to the women who had assembled. A certain woman named Lydia heard what we had to say. The Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. This is the first experience in evangelism in Europe. This is the beginning of a church, Philippi, another church, Thessalonica, another church in Corinth. And God's at work. The door's open now. It has been closed, and now it's open. What a wonderful relief it must have been. Several years ago, I was asked by an organization that I have loved for many years, the Navigators, to come to their reunion at Estes Park, Colorado, and to be one of the speakers. I was thrilled to be able to do that, and I traveled there, and I found out after I was there that they hadn't all gotten together for 17 years. So it was a great reunion of this fine Christian organization. The camp was just full of people with stories and hugs and embraces and wonderful moments together, and it was kind of a sort of reliving the past for that whole week. Well, we finished our time there, and a man was to drive me back to Denver to catch a plane back home. On the way back, he said, can I tell you my story? And I said, sure. He said, actually, it's a story of closed doors. Great. I said, I've had a few of those, so tell me what yours was. He said, we could not find peace in any manner staying in the States. And while at a conference with a number of the leadership of the Navigators, it fell my opportunity to be the man who would open the work in Uganda. He said, I could hardly spell it when they pointed to me and said, perhaps that's where the Lord would have you go. He said, I went home, I told my wife and told our children, I think they had three at the time. Their oldest son was just about to go into school, not quite. So there are three little kiddos. And he said to his wife, honey, are you ready to take on the challenge of Uganda and all that it holds, he said, if that's where God wants us, I want to do that. So they flew to Nairobi, Kenya. Now, couples, for a moment, picture it. You got three kids, one of them still in diapers, one of them should be. They're all little. You got them flying over to Nairobi, you land, you put your family up in a hotel, you've got limited amount of money, you rent a car, a Land Rover, and you drive from Nairobi into the country of Uganda. Remember, this was just after Idi Amin's terror reign, and he said, one of the first things that caught my eye when I came into the little town, the village, where I was going to spend my first night, and it was dark, were 8-9-year-old kids with automatic weapons, boom, 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 shooting them off in the sky. And I'd drive by, it was like, they'd stare at me and point it. I thought, no, not now. You know, it took me enough to get here. But it was that kind of context. It was that kind of volatile setting. And he thought, Lord, are you there? He pulled up at a little place, a dimly lit hotel, and he thought, well, I'll spend the night. Lonely, unable to connect with his wife at the hotel back in Nairobi. And he goes up to the counter, and the man that's taking care of the registration is asleep. So he wakes him up, speaks a little bit of English, and he registers. There's one room left, one bed available. So he goes up two flights of stairs, and he gets to the room, opens the door, turns on this little naked light bulb hanging over a table, and one bed is unmade, and his bed is still made up. And he realized, I am sharing this room with somebody. He said, I dropped to my knees, and I said, Lord, look, I'm afraid. I'm in a country I don't know, in a culture that's totally unfamiliar. I have no idea who sleeps in that bed. And he said, just as I was finishing my prayer, boom, the door opens, and here's this 6-foot-5-inch African saying, what are you doing in my room? Beautiful British English. And he stood up and he said, I stood there because this fellow's kind of short. He said, believe me, I got this bed and I won't be here but just one night. And the fellow said, what are you doing in my country? He said, well, I'm with a little organization called the Navigators. And he broke into this enormous grin, put his arms around this guy and hugged him. He said, he lifted me up off the floor and just danced around with me as hugging me. Praise God, praise God, says this African. And he's thinking, praise God, let me down, you know. And they sit down at the table, and this brother in Christ, this fellow Christian, this African said, for 2 years, I have prayed that God would send someone to me from this organization. And he pulls out a little verse pack, and at the bottom of each of the verses, it says, the Navigators, Colorado Springs, Colorado. He said, are you from Colorado Springs, Colorado? He said, I was, but I'm coming to Uganda to begin a work for the Navigator. That man became his best friend, member of his board, helped him find a place to live, helped him rebuild a section of his home, taught him about the culture, helped him with a little bit of the language needs that he had, and he became his best friend for those 14 years they were there. The story goes on, but I'm going to save the rest of it till the end. Paul is in Troas wondering what this is all about. The vision appears. The door opens to Macedonia. He doesn't know a soul in Macedonia. I take it he's never been to that area of Europe in his life. And he goes by boat, he and Silas and Timothy and Luke, and they get to Philippi. And for the first time, they see why the door has opened. Hearts are opened, lives are changed, and there is the beginning of a formation of a chain of churches right there because the door closed over there in Asia. Thanks to the door in Asia closing, Europe is now hearing. Thanks to the closed door in Asia, several churches are founded. Thanks to the closed door in Asia, we have a letter in our Bible called Philippians, another called Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, all related to the ministry. Two letters to Corinth, all part of the Macedonian Grecian area because that man believed God accepted the closed doors, didn't require that he stay in Asia, and was willing to go across the seas to Europe to begin a brand new work. I want to speak directly to you in a very practical way as I conclude this talk. Some of you have a business deal that did not go through and you're living a little disillusioned right now. Or perhaps a ministry you had set your heart on and it hasn't cultivated. Your hopes are dashed. Your dreams have died. Even a door of ministry you thought would be effective has not been effective. You haven't gotten in the school you thought you could get into. You haven't gotten what your colleagues are calling a break, and you're still sort of struggling with this closed door. I want to give you four statements of application that have helped me in the process of dealing with closed doors. Let me just kind of tick them off one after the other. Number one, since God is sovereign, he is in full control. Since God is sovereign, he is in full control. Remember Revelation 3? I am the one who opens and no one shuts. I am the one who shuts and no one opens. Being in full control, here's the second one, he takes full responsibility for the results. Being in full control, God takes complete responsibility for the results. Don't try to carry that burden. It's not up to you to make it work. It's up to God. Your job is to obey. It's God's job to make it work. If it doesn't work, don't force it. I say again. Here's the third principle. The closing of a good opportunity occurs in order to lead you to a better one. The closing of a good opportunity occurs in order to lead you to a better one. I've heard stories like this through years of ministry. People have said, I hit the closed door. I got to the end of my rope. I tied a knot and hung on. I trusted the Lord through this, and he turned the corner for me. And you can't believe what happened as a result of my not pushing my way in the direction I thought I was supposed to go. Here's the fourth. Not until we walk through the open door will we realize the necessity of the closed one. Not till we walk through the open door will we realize the necessity of the closed one. As a result of obeying God, doing his will, accepting the closed doors, and walking through the open ones, God will honor you with a perspective you would never otherwise have. Let me go back to my story in Uganda. After 12, 14 years, I forget the exact number of years, they finished their work there. It was established. Others from the staff of the Navigators came and picked up the work, and this dear little family came back. He had not been back quite a year. His son was finishing his high school, and the high school class was to go to Washington, D.C. for one of those field trips, you know, what they often do with the high school kids. They take them there to look at the monuments and let them see the White House and these great scenes across the nation's capital. And he said to his boy before he left, put his arms around him, and he said, son, here's $40. I want you to buy something that will be a great memory for you so that you could put it in your room and just call it all your own. This is your money. Do with it as you please. So the kid goes to Washington, D.C. They stay almost a week, and he comes back with this package. He says, I want to surprise you, Dad. So he doesn't let him come in his room until he finishes. And they walk in his room, and the kid had bought a huge Ugandan flag that he put over his bed. He said, those are the best years of my life, Dad. Talk about perspective. He feared that by going to Uganda, he would destroy or hurt or cripple his family, when in fact, his son has a passion now for God's work outside the borders of these United States. He would have never had that if he had not obeyed and walked through the open door. God is full of surprises. And if you have come to a closed door, be very, very sensitive. Stop. Back up. Tell the Lord exactly how you feel Describe to him what you had hoped. Ask him to guide you very clearly, since this opportunity is closed, to the one that's even better, that you right now don't know what it is. He will do that. He will do that. I want us to close our eyes. I want us to bow our heads. I want us to sit quietly. There's a great old gospel song that we happen to have sung in our service today. We sang it more than we sang any other song, and we repeated the line more than any other song or hymn. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I looked around our congregation and noticed that virtually every one of us was singing those words. The proof of those words will occur in the days that follow. Wherever he leads, I'll go. For some of you, he is leading you to, for the first time in your life, to the cross, where Jesus Christ paid the penalty for your sin, paid it in full, where he died. His blood, the greatest detergent in the history of time, sufficient to wash away all of your sins, was poured out for you. Today, he may be leading you to the cross. If so, right now, turn your life over to Christ. Please, right now. Simple words. Lord, I don't know quite how to put this, but I know I'm a sinner. And I know you're holy. And I know there's a big distance between you and me. But today, for the first time in my life, I take your Son as my Savior and Lord. I believe in him now. I take the gift that you've offered me. Thank you for coming into my life and forgiving me my sins. I think perhaps there may be more of you who have come to the closed door and you've been resisting it. You've been pushing it. You've been fighting it. You look for someone to blame. You've determined that this is what you're supposed to be doing. And it's a hard thing for you to accept the fact that the door is closed. Today, accept it. Give up the fight. Let it be. Let it be. You've come to your own Bithynia or Phrygia or Galatia, Mysia. The door is closed. Ask the Lord to meet with you at your own personal Troas as you look out across that vast sea of possibilities. Ask him to give you peace in a whole new direction. Be open. Be willing. Lord, there are a dozen or more possibilities we could name, but it's not necessary. These are your people, and they're the sheep of your pasture. It's your desire to lead them in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. But Father, we are all human. We're strong-willed by nature. We're self-starters. We prefer our will to any other's. And so today I ask you to break that will, to soften the soil of the heart that's hardened by bitterness or sadness or resentment or blame, that you'd find within us a spirit of willingness and availability. Thank you for the magnificent model that Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke exemplify in the scriptures. Help us, Father, resist the carnal spirit within us all. Show us how to quietly back away and let it be. And may your Spirit bring great comfort in the midst of our human disappointment and disillusionment. In Christ's name, we ask this. Amen.
Our Bible teacher is Chuck Swindoll. He titled today's message, Closed Doors, Open Doors. If you're thinking of someone who needs to hear today's Insight for Living program, remember that all 11 sermons in Chuck's series can be accessed on our convenient mobile app. For those who prefer owning audio CDs, those are available too when you call us at 800-772-8888. This 11-part teaching series is called The Mystery of God's Will, and it concludes this coming Tuesday. And then I want to draw your attention to a practical book that Chuck wrote because it pairs beautifully with our current topic. His book is titled, What If God Has Other Plans? And the subtitle is, Finding Hope When Life Throws You the Unexpected. Chuck has a way of diving headfirst into a pool of challenging topics. He does so with confidence, believing that God's Word never dodges uncomfortable subjects. And in this book, Chuck opens the Bible to find hope and wisdom for those who are struggling with the unwanted circumstances God has thrust them into. Things like personal loss, a life-threatening illness, or even the challenging aspects of becoming a caretaker for someone you love. Again, the book is called What If God Has Other Plans? And we'll send a copy to your home when you make a first-time donation as a monthly companion. A monthly companion is someone who agrees to give a contribution every month. In this role, you provide for some unsuspecting listener what someone once provided for you. So why not make today the day you become a monthly companion? Call us at 800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. From our very first broadcast in 1979, Insight for Living has been sustained by the voluntary donations of grateful listeners like you. And no one makes a bigger difference than our monthly companions. You can join the family today by going to insight.org/monthly companion. Find it hard to hear God's voice? I'm Bill Meyer. Chuck Swindoll presents A Better Way to Look at God's Will, Friday on Insight for Living. The preceding message, Closed Doors, Open Doors, was copyrighted in 1999, 2000, and 2024, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Incorporated. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.